Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning. Hope you're doing well. Thursday, April 22nd. Good to be with you. And so much to talk about on a Thursday. Busy, busy. We are going to start out with featuring a brand new book by a wonderful priest and contributor to not only EWTN, but Catholic Answers. Father Jeffrey Kirby is going to join us. His book is Real Religion: How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth. And I'm really looking forward to this interview because there's so much false faith going on and a misunderstanding of what it means to be someone who is in love with the Lord and putting Him first in your life. And how does that play out in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith? We're seeing so many people trying to remake the church and other Christian faiths in their own image and likeness when we are supposed to be following God's image and likeness, because that's how we're made. So Father Jeffrey Kirby, I'm sure you'll enjoy the discussion. I hope you will. And he will join us right after we give you the news, and there's a ton of it. And then more pro-life discussion, because we are your pro-life radio and TV network, of course, EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Karen Garnett, she's the VP, Vice President of Culture for Heroic Media, and the Executive Director of the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. Now, the National Prayer Luncheon for Life is taking a look at different high-impact pro-life organizations, and we'll be awarding them some very important financial donations, which is awesome, because we know that these amazing pro-life ministries around the country raise the money on their own. They don't take government funding, unlike Planned Parenthood, and they do a lot of their work, quite frankly, by not getting paid and by using volunteers who dedicate their precious time to help out and to help babies and women and families. And you may also vote for winners and register for a free online event coming up, this luncheon. And you can do that through tomorrow. So much to discuss with Karen Garnett, VP of Culture for Heroic Media and the Executive Director of the National Prayer Luncheon for Life, as well as we start off the program with our first guest, Father Jeffrey Kirby, Real Religion: How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and in Truth. And speaking of truth or lack thereof, Andrew just sent me another story, and this follows about 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, after the 60 Minutes debacle. Now we have NBC News is being charged with deceptive editing in the situation in Columbus where the young girl was shot and killed. Police showed up on the scene. There was a stabbing in place. And what NBC is doing, apparently, is very similar to what 60 Minutes did with Governor DeSantis. They edited out a very important portion of information that people need to hear. NBC Nightly News under fire, and listen to this, for editing out a key part of the 9/11 call before Micaiah Bryant shooting. The clip of the call omitted the woman telling police there were grown girls trying to stab us. So You can very easily paint a totally different narrative when you edit out, when you deceptively edit. For example, with the 60 Minutes piece 2 weeks ago, Governor DeSantis and many Democrats, both in Florida and elsewhere, and he's a very well-known Republican, were coming out and saying that 60 Minutes basically just lied to the public because they knew what happened with the governor and the situation with Publix, which was rolling out the vaccine. And 60 Minutes was trying to make it appear that it was a pay-for-play thing where he was doing this with Publix because they donated to his campaign. So Publix said, no, we raised our hands. And by the way, we have contributed to a number of campaigns, not only key Republican campaigns, but Democratic campaigns. And then a number of people came out and called out 60 Minutes for it, but they never backed down. They poo-pooed it and said, made excuses for themselves. See, what they do, for example, with 60 Minutes, when you have an agenda and when you have a large audience and when you have, for example, a national nightly newscast such as NBC Nightly News, you literally throw out and see what will stick. So you get people all upset. You get them very emotional. You throw out a deceptive story and make them think a particular thing happened. So because at the end of the day, unfortunately, the majority of the people don't go past the headline, don't go past the tweet, and rarely go past, if it's a written story online or in print, for example, rarely go past the first paragraph. This is something that I learned 40-plus years ago when I was in J school, okay? And this is why they put such an emphasis when you're writing a story, when you're writing a story, to make sure you have the facts in the first few lines of that story. Because most people, they get emotional, they see a headline, they look at a photograph, they look at maybe the caption. So this is very purposeful in terms of what they're doing. If they have an agenda, and look, the videos that were released from Project Veritas back that up, where the man from CNN, the director from CNN, was very casually in conversation with someone that he probably didn't know all that well, several times just admitted that, oh yeah, we're pushing agendas, and the next thing we're going to concentrate on is climate change. We were successful in helping to get Trump out of office. No big deal, saying this over a cup of coffee, over a beer. Next thing we're going to do, climate change. And oh yeah, we fear sells, and we used fear. We used fear to sell COVID big time. So this is so important for us as media consumers. I'm very passionate about this because it's been done to me, and it's been done to Al recently. It was done to me a few years ago, and Al was on the show actually talking about it, if you recall, in terms of the way he was deceptively edited a story regarding the CDF, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, response that he gave to one of our local ABC affiliates. He gave a beautiful, detailed explanation of what the church teaches and why the church teaches it, and they cut it off and made it sound as if he was blaming people for not understanding church teaching. And yet, if you listen to the entire answer to the question, it's very loving, it's very thorough. But they made him sound like he's some big old meanie who wants to attack people. So it's very deceptive, and we, as the church says, need to be wise media consumers and understand, as Archbishop Shapu always says, how the media work so they don't work on us. We are going to be seeing more and more of this, brothers and sisters, because they're out on a mission. CNN came right out and said it. They have a mission. And they want to put a particular narrative out there now that all police are bad. Now, are there issues that need to be addressed? Absolutely. And I think Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers did an excellent job of outlining this for us on Monday. And you can go to the archive section of Catholic Connection on Ave Maria Radio to look at that. But they want to paint everyone in law enforcement with a very, very broad brush. And that's not fair, nor is it accurate. Do changes still need to be made, as Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers pointed out? Yes. And he's a former police chief, by the way, and also extremely knowledgeable on all things Catholic, obviously. He's a great teacher of the faith. But he comes at this from a number of perspectives. So if you didn't hear the interview we did with Deacon Harold, I would definitely go back and listen to it. I may even have him back on to talk about this, because this is just so wrong. It helps no one because it's not truthful. So please, 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 and I talk about this, I know, sometimes till I'm blue in the face, but I'm so cognizant of it. I was telling my husband this morning when he came back from Mass, I said, it is such an exhaustive exercise to put the news together for you every morning, because of not only all the bad news, because you really have to learn how to focus and filter a lot of the bad news out, but the extreme bias and misinformation that is out there, and how many different sources we have to go to in order to make sure that things are accurate, and the sources that I rely on, and what I do, and how I balance it out, and what Catholic News Agency is saying about something versus what the secular media is saying. Amazing the difference. And we shouldn't have to do that. We should be able to trust. But we can't anymore. That's why I encourage you so much to stay tuned to us. And this is one of the reasons why we've developed, both at Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, all these different outlets with reliable information. But please, 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 take what the secular media are telling you with a huge grain of salt. And don't assume because something is in writing on the internet or you read it that it's automatically true. We need to be able to think, because they're throwing all kinds of stuff at us because they're trying to condition us toward a particular agenda. There's several of them. I don't have time to go into them right now. But this is just wrong, wrong, wrong to do this. It's deceptive, and it's not reporting. All right. That's my little tease, 2 cents. I usually do it in the first hour, but that's my 2 cents for this morning. All right. Lots of news to get through, of course, on this busy Thursday. I just wanted to share that with you because I was reading this story quickly before we got on the air. I went over it and I looked at it, and I was actually watching the video last night and seeing how the media were covering it and looking at some stories. And then this came up this morning. So this has been something I've been monitoring very closely since it happened on Monday. All right. Let's get to the news. Enough of my media soapbox. All right, here we go. Well, one of the big stories that we're following for you is the fact that the Pope is speaking out about dialogue for prayer. Very important, the Pope saying that we can all enter into this dialogue and that in some way, shape, or form, all creatures do. Christopher Wells has the update.
The Holy Father's catechesis began with a reflection on words, which not only proceed from us, but also to some extent shape us. In the Bible, words bring everything to light, ensuring that nothing human is excluded or censored. That, said Pope Francis, is why sacred scripture teaches us to pray, sometimes even with bold words. The human authors of the Bible are intent upon showing humanity as it really is, to the point even of including harsh expressions against enemies. Words, he said, that belong to human reality and which find their way into the sacred scriptures. Pope Francis noted that the first human prayer is always a vocal recitation.
Per prime si muovono sempre le labbra.
The lips always move first, he said. While recognizing the prayer does not consist in simply repeating words without meaning, he nonetheless insisted that vocal prayer is the surest means of speaking with God. Feelings, he said, can be uncertain and unpredictable, as can the graces that come from prayer. At times, the mysterious prayer of the heart can be lacking. Vocal prayer, however, can always be practiced, he said, and is necessary even when our feelings are confused. And so Pope Francis concluded,
Dunque, non dobbiamo disprezzare la preghiera vocale.
We must not despise vocal prayer, noting that when the disciples asked Jesus to pray, he taught them the Our Father.
Some countries are using the global coronavirus outbreak to target religious minorities. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom releasing its 2021 annual report yesterday. The Federal Commission saying some governments targeted religious minorities through misinformation campaigns and disproportionate restrictions during 2020. Among the countries cited for allegedly using the virus to place greater restrictions on some religious minorities, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, China, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia. The Diocese of Syracuse, New York, holding a Mass for Healing next week. The April 29th Mass, that's a week from today, has been scheduled after nearly 400 sex abuse claims are made involving the diocese. Bishop Douglas Lucia saying this week one victim of sexual abuse is too many. Over 370 claims have been filed under the New York Child Victim Act. Law enforcement agencies in Oklahoma may soon be required to comply with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The Oklahoma Senate approving a bill yesterday that orders local law enforcement to assist ICE in locating detained illegal immigrants. Supporters of that measure say it's vital for police and sheriff's departments to allow ICE to complete their work. Meanwhile, as Brian Shook tells us, the governor of Arizona is calling on the president to take action to secure the border with Mexico.
Doug Ducey called the situation at the southern border a Biden-caused mess during a speech in Yuma Wednesday. He wants a national state of emergency declaration, claiming the border is wide open and drug cartels and human smugglers are taking advantage of that. Ducey has declared an emergency over the situation at the border and is sending National Guard troops there.
Indonesia searching for a missing sub with 53 people on board. Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne says her country is ready to provide assistance.
Whatever we are able to do, we have undertaken to do. And I think those submariners and their families are very much in need of all of our thoughts and prayers.
The Indonesian Ministry of Defense losing contact with the vessel yesterday while it was conducting a torpedo drill near Bali. The nation's navy deploying submarines, airplanes, and more than 20 warships to search, along with assistance from Singapore and Malaysia. Efforts are now focused around an oil slick found around 60 miles north of Bali. The sub can dive to 500 meters, but may have gone below that depth. There's enough oxygen The experts say on board to last until Saturday morning. The vessel is a German-made vessel built back in 1977. And some map makers are telling a Senate subcommittee that they're afraid of how much power Apple and Google have over their businesses. Legal officers for some top apps testifying before at a Senate antitrust hearing yesterday, including reps from Spotify and the Match Group, which owns Tinder. They claimed Apple and Google could easily undercut their business by making changes to their app store rules and that they're all, quote-unquote, afraid of the platforms. The head legal officer for the Match Group accused Google of wielding monopoly power, and Spotify's chief legal officer saying he could think of at least four examples of threats as well as retaliation from Apple after Spotify accused it of anti-competitive behavior. The Indianapolis 500 will be the largest sporting event in the world since the start of the coronavirus, but there will still be quite a few empty seats. Indianapolis Motor Speedway President Doug Bowles saying they will welcome some 135,000 fans to the track next month on race day instead of the usual 400,000 plus.
We're encouraging you. We're not requiring you, but we're encouraging you. If you have a chance to get vaccinated, whether you're in California or whether you're here in Indiana or anywhere else before you come to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we want you to get that done. I think it makes your neighbors feel safer. It makes us all feel safer.
There will be no pre-race concerts this year. And finally, in our news segment at 16 minutes past the hour, Scott Pringle wraps it up, telling us how New York City, the Big Apple, launching a major marketing campaign to help bring tourism back.
Tourism is weighed down because of coronavirus. Mayor de Blasio notes that pre-pandemic, 400,000 jobs were connected to the industry.
We are absolutely certain that New York City will get all our jobs back.
CEO of NYC and Company Fred Dixon says the city is pumping $30 million into a multimedia campaign labeled NYC Reawakens. This will launch in June.
We will target leisure travelers as well as meeting and event planners in order to stimulate the group market and business travel, and that has been missing.
The campaign will first focus on domestic travelers, then later on international as the situation with the pandemic improves.
17 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning. You're listening to EWTM. When we come back, Real Religion, Avoiding False Faith and Worshiping God in Spirit and Truth. It's a new book by Father Jeffrey Kirby. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and I'm so excited to announce two domestic pilgrimages this time, one to the Shrines of Wisconsin, where we're going to be joined by Cardinal Raymond Burke. We're going to have a consecration to St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help for the apparition of Mary that happened there. Also, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida, where the Catholic Church actually started, the first Mass ever, and we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
It's a lot of false things out there, as I just explained, especially in the media. But how do we make sure that we are following Jesus and the one holy Catholic apostolic faith and doing it correctly according to our church teaching? as we say here on Ave Maria Radio and EW10, looking at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Father Jeffrey Kirby is known to our listeners through his great work with Catholic Answers, and his latest book is Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth. Father, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Thank you. Good to be on the show.
All right, so what was on your heart when you were sitting down to write this book?
Yes, you can just imagine almost 14 years of priestly service, priestly ministry, of just hearing people say just sometimes the most outlandish things in terms of worship or religion or the nature of God, and oftentimes really just being caught off guard, because I don't even know, where do I even start to address what they just said? And just this happening enough sporadically where I just said, you know, I need to sit down first for myself and just take all my theological training, my pastoral experience, and just write out, you know, what is the understanding of real religion, of true worship, and to do that for myself, that clarity to try to give answers more spontaneously as needed, but then also to provide a digestible, easy-to-read explanation to people who might have goodwill and want to know, you know, what is right worship. So I just basically took the scriptures, our sacred tradition, theological tradition, a lot of St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, and again, just kind of broke it down, made it, you know, more applicable, more easy to read, and wanted to provide this explanation, because if we don't get worship right, Teresa, nothing else falls into place.
Right. So just, for a few examples of things that really just shocked you that you heard from Catholics, what struck you as really just bizarre and, oh my goodness, we have to get back to basics here? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, so there was a young couple very early on who, at a different parish where I was assigned, asked to see me. We sat down for almost an hour, and they just went to the whole list of things that we can do to quote, make the Mass better. Now, just as a quick aside, whenever we start to use that language, we know we're in dangerous territory, because this is the perfect sacrifice of God the Son to God the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing we can do to make this sacrifice better, right? But they were describing all these ways, you know, the music and this, and you can just imagine the mega church model just imposed upon the Holy Sacrifice, right? And it was going on for almost an hour. And at the end of the hour, you know, I just kind of listened and nodded my head and so on. At the end of the hour, I pointed out to them, I said, you know, in this whole conversation, we've spoken a lot about many things, but the one person that was not referenced in any of your conversations was God. Teresa, we had gone an entire hour talking about worship, and they had never even referenced God, right? And I thought that would kind of wake them up, like, wow, maybe our views are kind of off a little bit. Like, how can we talk about worship for an hour and never even reference God? But that didn't happen. I didn't get it, and they left frustrated. You know, that's one example. Another just quick one was a woman who had heard from so many of her fellow Catholics that, you know, oh, man, I went to confession. I felt so better. I felt the weight lifted, you know, after confession. So she went to confession and came out, didn't feel anything, and said to me that she didn't feel anything. I said, well, but sometimes that happens. Like, you know, sometimes the, you know, gift is given, sometimes not. And she goes, well, but I didn't feel anything. Like, I was supposed to, you know, nothing happened. I was like, well, actually, a lot happened. Your sins were absolved. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty powerful. It took the death of the Son of God to do, right? And she goes, well, if I didn't feel it, what's the point?
Wow. So it's all about emotion, right?
Yes. I thought, we've got some work to do. Those are just two quick examples.
Yeah. So where do you think it's coming from? I mean, is it, we were talking during the break about the culture and the media and, you know, and my frustration with what's going on. It keeps getting worse and worse, and how people are being so misinformed, and yet they still, to a certain level, trust the media, which is shocking to me. But what, where is it coming from, do you think? Is it a lack of catechesis? Is it the world moving in, a combination of both? What do you think, Father?
I think it's all the above. And in the book, I trace it all the way back to the Garden of Eden, to our first parents. Like, you know, they thought they knew better than God. They thought they could somehow improve the garden. You know, they thought that he was holding something back, or that they could make, you know, something new and improved. and so on. And so that fallenness in their own heart is there. And, of course, our culture certainly feeds that, you know, this view that I am the sovereign self, right? I am the standard of all things. And that kind of breeds a certain egotism, a certain narcissism, and that then flows into worship, where people think they're worshiping God, but if you push far enough, at the end, they're really just worshiping themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They project something of this higher power. They worship it, but it's not the God of Revelation. It's not the living and true God. Biblically, it's an idol, and it's self-worship. And I think that is just rampant in the church and throughout our culture today.
Yeah, and it's rampant also from quote-unquote so-called Catholic leaders who think they can make the church in their own image and likeness. And I mean Catholic leaders who are in politics and even some who are in, you know, particular groups in the church, where you had that horrible petition that went out against Archbishop Naumann, with some quote-unquote Catholics saying he's not fit to be the head of the USCCB pro-life committee because he's too pro-life. I mean, this is how ridiculous it's gotten. More with Father Kirby when we come back. You have to check out his book. It's published by our friends at Catholic Answers. Real Religion. Get a copy of it. Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth, with a capital T, as in Jesus. We'll be right back.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
There's going to be conflict. I want to make that clear. My concern is unity, but I don't think you can get to unity before you get to the conflict. And you have to remember, the church is not supposed to be submissive to the state. It's not supposed to be the ruler over the state, but it's supposed to be the conscience of the state. And if you ever wrestled with your conscience, you know, conscience creates conflict. So we expect conflict between the church and the surrounding culture, especially with the political order. We expect conflict among fellow Christians, because we will assess the various importance of issues differently. But here's what's supposed to work. Our union in Christ is supposed to keep us bonded together so that these fights can be handled, and they can be fruitful. Not the kind of conflict that drives separation. They can be fruitful conflict.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Having a great discussion with Father Jeffrey Francis Kirby. He's a Catholic priest, papal missionary of mercy, and pastor of Our Lady of Grace Parish in Indian Land, South Carolina. Also a moral theologian and also a professor of theology at Belmont Abbey College, a senior contributor to the Crux News site, and an author of several theological and spiritual works. You'll also hear him, of course, on various radio programs, including this one right here on EWTN. His latest book, very important for our times, and it's entitled Real Religion. What's been the response so far, Father, for the book?
Well, it's interesting. First, the reaction to the title. I guess that if you assert that anything is real anymore, it's suddenly controversial. and certainly if you assert that religion is real or God is real. So there's been a little bit of pushback from some interesting emails that have been sent to me. But overall, I will say, within the believing Catholic community, the book has been very well received. And I think seen as a source of help and consolation, because, you know, oftentimes, if I've had these experiences as a priest, I know that the faithful have had similar experiences with family members or coworkers or neighbors where, what? I mean, you know, sometimes people just say things, you're like, what? Like,
yeah, where did you get that from, and why are you assuming it's true, right? That's what drives me crazy.
Yes, 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 yes. And to say just the most outlandish things, you know, or to somehow think, you know, I think of some of the comments about, you know, well, why can't doctrine change? You know, shouldn't the church get with the times? You know, or, you know, who are we to think that we can understand God? You know, and so on. It's like, well, once you understand Revelation, well, no, God has revealed himself to us so that we can know with surety, so we can stake our lives on this and make sure that salvation is received in Christ. But once you start speaking like that, you know, to the broader community, we may as well have three heads, right?
Well, also, too, though, Father, I think it has to start with that people have to fall in love with Jesus. You have to have that relationship with Christ, because then when you love him and you get to know him, then you are much more open to listen. And not that we're 100% perfect or like many of the great saints right away, but when you have that, oh yeah, I know him, I understand who he is and what he means to me, I trust him. So if he left us this church, then if I love him, don't I trust him enough to believe that what he gave us in the church, especially promising us that the Holy Spirit would not allow the church to teach error in doctrine and dogma. Disciplines can change, doctrines and dogma, the truth of who we are and the dignity of the human person cannot. But then won't I, if I love someone, aren't I more willing to listen to them?
Yes, amen, amen. And that connection between knowledge and love is so important. And we speak about the knowledge of God, especially the knowledge that he has revealed to us. It's so important that we hold that intact, that we honor that, revere that. And to begin to change that revelation, or think we can, or to change the worship that God has revealed to us. And we have a God that loves us so much. Not only has he drawn himself to us, not only does he call us to fellowship with him, but he has actually shown us how to worship him. Not because we add anything to his greatness, but because we become better. We live more fully our vocation as his children when we worship rightly.
Could this book help someone who's trying to minister to friends and family in terms of understanding what real religion looks like? Is that one of the reasons you wrote it?
Yes, very much. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there's actually almost a little school of apologetics, almost. You know, in the spirit of the publisher, Catholic Answers, which provides great apologetic resources.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little chapter, a little part at the end. It gives main talking points. It gives an examination of conscience. It provides a prayer. It gives just some quick reference to those who, you maybe read the book and say, now, wait a minute, what were the points of that? Or maybe you are in a hurry and can't read the full chapter yet, but just need those points. So those are provided in each chapter to help people, so that when our neighbor, our family member, or someone begins to say these, you know, outlandish things, we know in a clear way how to give a full response.
And I think if people just take a breath, and I know I get, a lot of people get frustrated because friends or family will pose a question that might be on the surface they think hard to answer. But if they take a step back and pray and then do some of their own homework, which I'm always encouraging people to do, then they see, oh, it's not so difficult to explain what the church teaches, because it's all laid out for us.
Amen. Amen. And the coherence and the beauty and the harmony of the teaching. Once you begin to understand, it all fits, you know, this beautiful mosaic of divine revelation.
So in Real Religion, Father, you have the apologetics resources in the back, and then how do you lay out the book overall? Kind of walk us through.
Yeah, so the first chapter is really the heart of the book. It's the tenets of biblical religion, and that really was the part where, in terms of sitting down and saying, let me take the great theological masters, take the sources of revelation, and give, again, just this kind of easy-to-read, understandable explanation. So chapter one is tenets of religion, because we have to get the real religion right. So we have to make sure that we can understand it, appreciate it, and honor it. And then after chapter one, I identify four false religions, four self-worships. So the first is sentiment. That's the big one. And then there's self-help, commodity, and social activism. And there are more trees, of course, but those are the four that in my pastoral experience have been the more prominent.
This is really, really helpful, especially for such a time as this. As it says in the book of Esther, we need this right now. The book is entitled Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth by our friend, Father Jeffrey Kirby. So, Father, in terms of using this, would this be good to bring into, I'm thinking maybe even RCIA would be very helpful?
Very much. I think especially for people who are coming from non-liturgical traditions, mm-hmm. or you know, maybe those who come from more of a free will approach in some, you know, communities. So where you know, a full teaching of Revelation or the God of Revelation has not been, you know, particularly emphasized, this book could be very helpful.
Yeah, I think it's great. Thank you so much for doing this. What's your next project?
Actually, next one is going to be a manual for sufferers.
Ooh.
That's going to lay out our whole theology of redemptive suffering.
Yeah, yeah. Or as my mother, Rosie, who died last year and still had her Eastern accent, she always said to me, Teresa, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
But I morph into her. I keep hearing myself saying that about this redemptive suffering. I've come to understand that so much over my years, and hearing my mother talk like that, and that was very wise. And she had a high school education, but she had a ton of common sense, and she would always say, offer it up. And I really didn't understand what that meant until I came back to the church and learned about redemptive suffering. And I even talk about it in my books, offering it up to God. Father, God bless you. Thank you for this. I think it was a help for me because my producer sent me that story I was telling you before the top of the hour on NBC, and my Italian got up, and I just am. I'm so sensitive to the way that people are misinformed by our culture, and then you're saying this and you're reiterating it, so I think it was God's timing. I think as much as for our listeners, you were on, I think you were also on for me today, Father.
Well, thank you very much, Teresa. God bless you and your great work.
Well, it's been a comfort and an affirmation for me, so really appreciate it. Again, the book is Real Religion. Grab a copy of it from our friends at Catholic Answers. We'll also have it at both the Religious Catalog, of course, at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio's bookstore, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth. What a concept. We'll be right back.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God in all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level. He wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How do we know the truth? We go to Jesus. We pray, and there's a great opportunity to pray together, and prayer also can make a huge difference in standing up against a culture. Someone who knows all about that, our guest, Karen Garnett, VP, Vice President of Culture for Heroic Media, wonderful, wonderful ministry, and the executive director of the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. Karen, good to speak with you. So first, let's get some of the housekeeping details out there before we really want to dive into more about your beautiful work. But there's some events coming up that we need to tell people about, because we have the National Prayer Luncheon for Life, and there's also going to be awards given for high-impact pro-life organizations. And our listeners, who are, of course, pro-life advocates, can join in and vote for the winners, and then they can register free for the online events. So kind of walk us through what's happening. Good morning.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you so much, Teresa. Yes, it's the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. It's produced by our company, Heroic Media. And in the past, it's been a direct counter to Planned Parenthood's annual luncheon, same day, same time, where it was a prayer luncheon that was a fundraiser for our mission. That changed. Our last year, we had 3,000 people at the in-person event 5 days before the pandemic was announced. And so we didn't even know if we'd be able to have an in-person event this year. And Planned Parenthood is not having their luncheon at all until the fall. So we have a new vision. Our new CEO, Brett Atterbury, has a new vision for the National Prayer Luncheon for Life to really shift away from being just for Heroic Media and being a prayer-centric Hour of Power event, where we'll have a number of prayer leaders coming in to lead us through that hour, and then elevating, raising awareness of, bringing attention to amazing pro-life organizations in our wonderful movement who are just making real significant strides in the battle against Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry every day. So this year, our first year for the new National Prayer Luncheon for Life, we have we went ahead and chose the five nominees for the awards for this first one, because our company, Heroic Media, through our pro-life magazine, we have already profiled each one of these organizations, and people can read about them on the nominees page on our website. So they are, the five nominees this year are, And Then There Were None, led by Abby Johnson.
Sure.
And
great.
Folks on Family with their Option Ultrasound program, and Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and Students for Life of America, and Susan B. Anthony List.
Wow.
One of them, whoever gets the most votes from across the country, will receive the Pro-Life Impact Award and the top grant, which is a $50,000 Pro-Life Impact grant to continue their amazing work.
Praise
God. And
then
the second and third, the second and third highest vote-getting organizations among them will get a $20,000 Pro-Life Impact grant and a $15,000 for third.
Praise God, because, you know, these organizations, yeah. what drives me crazy is that, you know, Planned Parenthood, all the gazillions of dollars, and that's really no exaggeration, especially if you're looking at it from a worldwide perspective. I don't even know if gazillion is a word, but if it is, in terms of the money they bring in, Planned Parenthood can take ownership of that in a bad way for the rest of the world. But you think about the money that they make, Karen. You think about these amazing, and these are heroic organizations that you just listed, and how hard they have to work to raise their own money, because they're not taking it from the government. And how many people work on a volunteer level, sacrificial level, right, in these groups?
Well, yeah, it's definitely a combination. You have the staff in many organizations and loads of volunteers who help support the work. I mean, as you know, Teresa, we've been at this for 48 years now.
Right.
And we want to come together, more, you know, this, to pray, to unite, to save lives, and really pray fervently for one another's work, and to help. What we're all about is, moving the ball down the field to get it into the end zone to win this war. And but we do want to invite everybody in the country, everyone who's listening, all pro-lifers, to participate in this. You can go to the website nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org, and just right there's a place to click on the button to vote, so that you can cast your vote, read about these organizations, pray, and all of them are amazing. But we have three grants for this first year, and the voting does end at midnight tomorrow night, Friday, April 23rd. That's when the voting ends. But virtual registration will be open all next week, and everyone can come on when we're live streaming live from 12 to 1 Central Time next Friday from the National Prayer Luncheon for Life website, and also from the National Prayer Luncheon for Life Facebook page.
Okay, so give us the website again for everything you just mentioned, so people have a central place to go.
Yes, everything is on nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org.
Okay.
And we have the wonderful the help of the wonderful David B. Wright. He's helping us. He's done many, many virtual events. And David will be our MC, one of our speakers. And then our prayer leaders are Evangelist Alveda King. Everybody loves Alveda. Yes, Executive Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn. We have the Bishop of Dallas, Texas, Bishop Edward Burns, will be leading the prayer. Astrid Bennett Gutierrez is coming in from...
former host of the Catholic View for Women, who now hosts a similar program for our Latin American network. Thank you, on EWTN. There you go. Astrid.
Yeah, there you Astrid. Go. You know Astrid quite well, yes. And she's president of the VITA Initiative.
Yep.
And then we also have Bridget Van Meen, who is the president and vision leader for Thrive Nation out of St. Louis, Missouri. And Bridget is amazing. Every time she talks, it seems the Holy Spirit is just talking through her. So that's the plan, is we'll be praying together. We'll have some inspirational talks. And then at the very end of the luncheon, the very end of that hour, is when we will present we'll announce and present the winners of the award and the grant. So it's going to be a surprise. They won't even know. So it's kind of exciting and fun. It's I don't know. I think we all need a lift every now and then.
I think just looking at the list of these folks gives us hope and reminds us that people are out there doing this really, really hard work every single day. I know we're all busy and we have our lives, but these are the people, and this is so great to come together in prayer and to support them. I mean, I don't know for whom I'm going to vote. I love all of these organizations. I mean, they're all fantastic. I mean, you can't split your vote, though, right? You have to vote for one.
That's right. Really, I know. Isn't it something? But here's the other thing, Teresa, is that the new vision for National Prayer Lunch of Her Life is not just to be a one-time-a-year event. It's going to be a year-round initiative, kind of similar to the National Day of Prayer or the National Prayer Breakfast, where we want to form a task force of people coming together, you know, daily to pray together in a different way than we've done in the past. And then for next year's luncheon event, we are going to open up the nominations to the country. Everybody out there, people may know of an amazing pro-life organization in a small town doing wonderful, impactful work and reporting great results, but nobody's heard of them.
Right.
So one of the goals of National Prayer Luncheon for Life is to really help raise awareness about, and for ourselves too, to learn about other organizations that people perhaps haven't even heard of.
Right.
So we're very, very excited about it.
Well, I'm excited too. It's awesome. It's a great educational opportunity as well as a prayer opportunity. We're speaking with Karen Garnett, the VP, Vice President of Culture for Heroic Media and the Executive Director of the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. So if people are not familiar with your wonderful organization, the Culture for Heroic Media, give us kind of an idea, some background on what you do, Karen.
Yes, thanks, Teresa. So Heroic Media, we are an online advertising company to reach abortion-minded women who are using the Internet to search for abortion information and redirect them. We compete daily with Planned Parenthood and abortion facilities ads online so that we can be the first line of defense for that mother and her preborn child. She's confused. She's thinking abortion is the answer. So we have competing ads. And when she clicks on one of our ads, she is connected to one of our Pregnancy Health Center partners. And, you know, if she ends up making that connection, making an appointment, going in, and making the choice for life, then that is how, you know, that's how we track everything, every step of the way. So everything's measured. And so we call that OASIS, the acronym OASIS, which is On-Demand Alternatives to Abortion System, because we're not just putting ads out there and not having a relationship with the pregnancy center, but we have a very, very close relationship with every pregnancy center we partner with to help follow the mom all the way through and you know, do everything that we can to support that pregnancy center. So that's our primary mission at Heroic Media. It used to be, when it was first founded, it was doing mass media advertising,
right.
Billboards and TV. You can't measure, and it's very, very expensive. This is very, very specific, reaching the women right where they are at the moment when they are in need as that first line of defense. So that's Heroic Media's primary mission. And then secondary, we have this luncheon. This luncheon initiative that we are doing, and we produce Pro Life Magazine, which comes out four times a year, where we are profiling pro-life organizations. It's very interesting because our our CEO, Brett Atterbury, came out of the corporate world. He worked full-time for Heroic Media 6 years ago. And he is talking with business people all the time, and they're asking, you know, there's so many pro-life organizations. How do we even know who they are and what they do and what kind of reporting they do? And so that's part of Brett's goal through Pro-Life Magazine and National Coalition for Life, that we'll be able to profile these really effective, impactful organizations to, again, get the ball all the way down the field and into the end zone for the ultimate win.
And I'm sure his experience in the corporate world is just invaluable to you. But also, I think what you're doing, and me coming from, as you know, a media background, the media impact is so huge, so huge.
Well, Teresa, we just, as you know, we just have to be there. Think about it. If we're not there, if we're not in this space, and it is online. That is where our focus is. But if we're not there, then the other side just, you know, that the woman doesn't have that chance of being connected to life. And we know the way would often, the way the abortion industry wants the result to go. So it's really beautiful. I send out a weekly email that has a saved story every week, featured every week of a mom who had made the life decision, and it just keeps us going, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saving lives, yeah. Praise God.
Those success stories do keep you going, and I mean, we don't look for the success stories. The success is up to God, as Mother Teresa said. But I do think because of the way the media is set up now, you can get that feedback, and that is a nice little shot in the arm to keep you going. And Karen, I'm so grateful, really, for the work that you do, because it's just so important. So I want to give you one more chance. We have about a minute left to plug the website, your website, and also the website for the prayer luncheon and how people can get involved.
Okay, thank you again, Teresa, and thank you. You are such a warrior, and I'm just so grateful for you for all
thank
the
you.
Years of your dedication.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're very focused right now and inviting everyone listening to participate. Join us. We've already had over almost 7,000 people who have participated in voting so far. And National Prayer Luncheon for Life, the event is next Friday, April 30th, from 12 to 1 Central Time, virtual. We have a limited in-person attendance this year, but virtual is wide open across the country. We want everybody who is pro-life to come together over your lunchtime. I know it's different time zones, but 12 to 1 Central Time to come together for an hour of prayer-centric power, Holy Spirit power. But please participate with us in voting. Go to nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org. We'll have a chance. Scroll down and click on the vote. Vote now. Learn about the nominees and vote for the National Prayer Luncheon for Life Pro-Life Impact Award and three pro-life impact grants, one of $50,000, $20,000, and $15,000, that will be presented live at the end of the luncheon event next week to these outstanding organizations. So please participate with us. Join with us in person virtually on the actual day, but participate in voting. We would love to have your voice and your vote. And we're praying for the Holy Spirit to lead this.
Amen, sister. Preach it.
And then
our
Heroic Media website, too. Sorry for the Heroic Media.
That's okay.
It is heroicmedia.org. That's the Heroic Media work, and the National Prayer Luncheon for Life. .org is all about the luncheon.
And we'll also, Karen, we do every day, thanks to my wonderful producer, we'll put all the resources. People are driving, and we want them to keep their eyes on the road and keep their arms and hands inside the vehicles at all times. So we'll put all these links on our Catholic Connection archive section later in the day, usually about midday. Andrew puts all the information up there, including the various segments of the program. So if you miss the websites, no worries. We'll have that poster for you. And please check out this great work. And this is really helping to counter what Father and I were just talking about and what I was mentioning at the top of the hour. These are the folks who are out there putting their money where their mouth is, with their sacrifice, with their lives, with their time, and getting the message out there about the dignity of the human person. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures.
CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and I'm so excited to announce two domestic pilgrimages this time, one to the Shrines of Wisconsin, where we're going to be joined by Cardinal Raymond Burke. We're going to have a consecration to St. Joseph and Our Lady of Good Help for the apparition of Mary that happened there. Also, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida, where the Catholic Church actually started, the first Mass ever, and we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to avemariaradio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Thank you so much for tuning in to EWTN and Catholic Connection. This show is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio, AveMariaRadio.net, and EWTN, EWTN.com. Great resources on those various websites and great news resources, too, so keep that in mind. Tomorrow, Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer and President, always gives you the inside scoop of the next week's programming. He joins us on Friday, as well as Fact Check Friday. We're going to dive into this latest debacle, this time with NBC News. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.